Captain's log, stardate 44012.3. The Enterprise remains docked at McKinley Station, undergoing a major overhaul and refit following the Borg incident. I'm confident that the ship and her crew will soon be ready to return to service.
Thank you. Please take that to engineering.
Phaser upgrades are complete, Commander.
Already?
And we have begun power supply calibration.
Well, you're just too damned efficient, Lieutenant.
Thank you, sir.
Continue with the testing, Mr. Worf. Here's the final schedule for the shore leave and for the personnel transfers. By the way, I'm looking forward to meeting your parents.
Sir?
They're on the visitors list. You didn't know?
No, sir. It is inappropriate for a Klingon to receive family while on duty. As humans, my parents do not understand.
Well, I'm not sure that I would either, Worf. Since this isn't a Klingon ship, if you don't want to see your parents, that's your business. But we don't get back to Earth that often. I'm sure we could arrange for you to have more off-duty time while they're here.
No, sir. That will not be necessary.
Dismissed. Mr. Worf, if you're worried that they might learn about what happened on the Klingon planet...
Not at all. I have already informed them by correspondence of my discommendation. I do not believe any human can truly understand my dishonor.
So, where have you decided to go?
What? Oh. France, Labar. My home village.
Really?
Yes. It's the first time in almost 20 years.
Interesting.
Counselor.
I just find it interesting. Captain Jean-Luc Picard, the man who couldn't be pried out of his seat for vacation for 3 years.
It's Earth. It's home. Do I need another reason?
I don't know. What do you think?
Your help has been invaluable during my recovery. But look, I'm better. The injuries are healing.
Those you can see in the mirror.
The nightmares have ended. All I need now is a little time to myself.
I agree. In fact, I'm delighted you're going. It's just that the choice of where you're going could stand some scrutiny.
If you wish to believe my going home is a direct result of being held captive by the Borg, be my guest.
Is that what you believe?
I hate it when you do that.
Captain, you do need time. You cannot achieve complete recovery so quickly. And it's perfectly normal after what you've been through to spend a great deal of time trying to find yourself again.
And what better place to find oneself than on the streets of one's home village?
Interesting. Have a good trip, Captain.
As the door closes behind her, Picard returns to packing. He takes a handful of books from a shelf and pauses before replacing them and snapping his cylindrical shoulder bag shut and walking to the door. He stops in the open doorway and looks back at his quarters, troubled and uneasy. British Sky Broadcasting presents Star Trek The Next Generation, created by Gene Roddenberry. This episode is entitled Family, voiced by Marston York. The Federation Starship Enterprise journeys into the wild beauty of the unknown. Streaming flat planes of swirling gases ring an enormous glowing orb in a distant galaxy as a comet, its tail glowing red and blue in the star's light, flashes past, revealing a rocky moon orbiting a ringed planet.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
starring Patrick Stewart as Captain Jean-Luc Picard, Jonathan Frakes as Commander William Riker, LeVar Burton as Lieutenant Geordi LaForge, Michael Dorn as Lieutenant Worf, Gates McFadden as Dr. Beverly Crusher, Marina Sirtis as Counselor Deanna Troi, Brent Spiner as Lieutenant Commander Data, and Will Wheaton as Wesley Crusher. Theme by Jerry Goldsmith and Alexander Courage. The United Federation of Planets was created to form alliances between species, and the pooling of knowledge and desire to learn pushes the boundaries of our own existence in an effort to discover more. The engines on the Enterprise power up. Explosive fusion builds to warp power, and the Enterprise lunges forward in a flash of blue and white light. The Enterprise is locked beneath the crab-like McKinley repair station. On board, Worf enters the transport bay.
They still have not signaled.
No, sir.
My mother is never on time. It is so human of her.
Well, you know women.
I'm not looking forward to this. I wish they would come so it would begin and end sooner.
I know what you mean, Lieutenant.
Unlikely.
Last time my old man was on board, I found him chasing Nurse Stanton around a bio bed in sick bay.
I'm not concerned about my father chasing nurses.
But it's always something with parents, isn't it?
Enterprise, this is Earth Station Bobrusk. 2 to transport aboard.
Energizing.
Mother! Father!
Worf.
You look good, son.
Put on a little weight, huh?
No.
Sure you have. Looks good on you. Still working out with those holodeck monsters, I bet.
Let me take you to...
Always good to meet another chief petty officer. Sergei Rozhenko, formerly of the USS Intrepid.
Miles Edward O'Brien, sir. Good to meet you.
Don't call me sir. I used to work for a living.
He's joking. The proudest moment of his life was when Worf earned his commission.
Can you imagine an old enlisted man like me raising a boy to be an officer?
Come along, Sergei. There's plenty of time to chat with the boys. Your father has been so looking forward to this.
Yes, I want to see everything, the whole ship. At home, I have all the specs and diagrams of the Galaxy-class starships.
We are in the midst of a repair. I cannot give you a complete tour.
Oh, I'm sure if you ask the captain...
You agreed not to embarrass him. Besides, we have come to see Worf, not the ship.
Fine, okay.
Your hair is a little longer, isn't it, Worf?
Picard walks through the mottled bright sunlight flickering on a dusty path. Trees overhang the pathway and both sides are bounded by tall bushes. A sudden rustling in the bushes to his right captures his attention, but he walks on. The movement of the plants follows him.
All right, whoever you are, I can hear you. Oh, good Lord. A highwayman.
A what?
Highwayman. It's a robber who attacks travelers, but none have been reported in this vicinity for centuries.
But I'm not a robber.
Oh. I'm much relieved, sir.
I know who you are.
Then you have the advantage.
You're my nephew, Jean-Luc, from the Starship Enterprise.
Then you must be my Uncle René.
I'm not your uncle. It's the other way around.
Too bad. I rather enjoyed the idea.
Why have you been away so long?
Well, Starfleet keeps me very busy.
Father says you don't like it here.
I'm sure you misunderstood.
No, I didn't. He said so.
Well, Robert and I, perhaps it's time to change all that.
You know, you don't seem so you know.
Arrogant?
Yes, arrogant. You don't seem that way to me. What does it mean anyway? Arrogant son of a...
Let's talk about that later, shall we?
Mummy? He's here! Mummy! He's here!
Jean-Luc.
Harry. Oh.
It is so good to finally meet you.
For me too.
How are you feeling?
Oh, I'm fine.
Well, Robert and I are delighted that you've come to stay with us.
I might be imposing. I could very easily stay in the village.
I wouldn't hear of it. It's your home, and it will always be your home.
Picard looks anxiously at the gabled, timber-lined farmhouse to his right.
Do things look that different?
Oh, no. In fact, it's amazing how little it has changed. Everything is exactly as I remember it. The house, hills, every tree, every bush seems untouched by the passage of time.
Robert's worked hard to keep it that way. It's very important to him.
As it was to our father.
Someday I'm going to be a starship captain.
You look exactly like Robert when he was your age. I half expect to see myself as a boy come running out of that door to play.
Robert can't wait to see you.
René has already told me. Where is he?
As usual, with his vines.
A hand reaches for a bunch of grapes, plucking and crushing a few. A middle-aged man, older than Picard, jams them into his mouth, tasting thoughtfully. He half turns as Picard walks up behind him, and his expression sours.
So, you arrived at last. Welcome home, Captain.
Hello, Robert.
You've shuttled in from the village?
No, I decided to walk. I met Marie and René.
Good. Good.
It's, good to see you.
You tired?
No.
I'll make yourself at home. You know where everything is. You generally eat about 8. I must try and cure this poor, sick vine. I'll see you shortly.
Picard watches his brother as Robert turns back to the vine and slowly turns away, walking back along the path stretching between the long rows of vines in the family's huge vineyard towards the farmhouse, his shoulders slumped in sadness, his steps slow and ponderous. Dr. Crusher takes 2 drinks from the replicator in her quarters on the Enterprise.
So you'll have a chance to visit the surface? Maybe. Will and I have been talking about going back to Angel Falls. Oh, Venezuela's beautiful. Come in. Great. Thank you.
She takes a metal case from a crewman who immediately leaves as she places it on a table and flips open the lid. An insignia on top reads Lieutenant Commander Jack R. Crusher. Inside is a Starfleet uniform and she picks up the tunic, her face suddenly sad.
Something from home?
I left it here in storage a long time ago after Jack died. Odds and ends, mostly.
How to advance your career through marriage?
It was a joke. Jack sent it to me when I was still in medical school. It was his way of proposing to me.
What's that?
It's for Wesley from Jack. I'd forgotten it. Maybe I was just trying to forget it.
Why?
Jack recorded a holographic message for Wesley just after he was born. It was a gift for him when he grew up. Jack was going to make many more of them. He never had the chance.
Are you afraid of what it might say?
No. I just don't know if it'll do more harm than good. Wesley's finally come to terms with his father's death.
Wesley has a lot of questions about his father. Things that you can't answer for him. Perhaps seeing this will help him understand.
The engineering room is a hive of activity as crew members work on all the damaged systems, checking, repairing, and overhauling components as Geordi enters with Worf and his parents.
So we walk into the school and we didn't know what to expect. If Worf hurt is in some kind of trouble, the door opens And there is our little seven-year-old sitting on a chair and glaring across the room at five teenage boys, all of them with bloody noses.
And then the principal looked up and said, please, tell me he's an only child.
We have taken enough of the commander's time.
No, we're way ahead of schedule here.
I just wanted to tell him the story about...
Enough stories, Sergei.
Okay. Enough stories. Well, now, how about giving us a look at the new engine core? I used to be a warp field specialist on the old Excelsior class.
I'd be delighted. Mrs. Roshenko?
Oh, no. You two go ahead. Your father will be ours. Worf, why don't you show me the arboretum?
Commander LaForge, call me when you... when my father wishes to leave.
I can find my own way. Turbolift 4 is just over there, right? I have all the specs and diagrams at home.
The data matrix compositor makes the recrystallization process 10 times more efficient than the old Excelsior class ships.
Amazing. Commander, if you have a couple of minutes, there's something else I want to ask you.
Sure, Chief.
It's about my son.
Night falls on Earth, and the Picards settle down for dinner in the farmhouse's large kitchen.
And your friend Lewis wants you to contact him. As soon as you're settled.
He's still trying to raise the ocean floor?
Oh, yes. He's very excited about it. He's been made a supervisor now, as his wife is constantly reminding anyone who'll listen.
And I see no good reason why the Earth should have another subcontinent.
It's really quite exciting, actually. If you understand the potential of exploring a new world on our own planet.
Well, I'm afraid that I do not understand this potential.
The mayor wants to give you a parade.
Thank you.
Parade?
Give you the keys to the city.
Oh, no. No. Uh-huh.
He just needs a little arm twisting, dear. A little coaxing.
No, he does not. I'm here to rest and spend some time with my family.
Well, I've already warned the mayor not to make any plans without talking to us.
Thank you.
So.
Salut. Is the 46?
47. You've been drinking too much of that artificial stuff. What do you call it? Synthahol? Spoiled you. Ruined your palate.
On the contrary, I think that Synthahol heightens one's appreciation for the genuine article.
Delicious, Marie.
Thank you.
Leave it to Robert to find the best cook in France. Then marry her.
Yes, but sadly, cooking is becoming a lost art. That's your wretched technology again.
Robert and I have had more than a few discussions about getting a replicator in the house.
I remember the same discussions between mother and father.
Father understood better than anybody else the danger of losing those values which we hold most precious.
I don't see that you have to lose anything just by adding a convenience.
Well, you wouldn't. But in my view, life is already too convenient.
This is a very old argument.
It is.
I wrote a report on starships for school.
And he won a ribbon for it.
The teacher even said it was one of the best he'd ever heard.
Good for you, Uncle. You know what? I once wrote a report on starships when I was about your age.
Did you win a ribbon too?
I don't recall.
And I don't find your modesty very convincing, brother. Of course you won the ribbon. You always did.
Well, do you still have it? Your report?
No, I don't think so.
Well, I still have mine.
Why don't you go and get it, and then you can read it to your uncle?
It's hard enough to protect him. To protect him from all that's out there without you encouraging him.
I'm not encouraging him. But if you weren't so narrow-minded, you allowed him to see the world as it really is.
Now you raise your own sons as you would wish, and allow me to do the same with mine.
One man's idea of paradise.
No, my dear Lewis, two men.
Robert's and my father.
Never did I know anyone less interested in grapes than you, Jean-Luc.
Oh, no, not true. I was interested. And I was proud that my family were helping to preserve the traditions. I just didn't feel bound by those traditions.
You always reach for the future and your brother for the past.
There should be room for both in this life. What about you, you old rascal? You've taken quite a shift into the future yourself.
Well, hydroponics turned out to be so dull.
You should have listened to me at the beginning.
If I had listened to you, I never would have taken that cycling trip with the Bloom sisters.
And broken your leg?
And got married twice.
I hear you've been promoted to supervisor of the Atlantis project.
I am one of 200 supervisors. Although my wife would have you believe I run the entire project.
Well, it's certainly very exciting work. I've kept up on it in the journals.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It's only... there's just one thing I don't understand. You were such a rotten swimmer, Lewis. Thinking of you working on the ocean floor.
I suppose we all find ways to confront our greatest fears, huh?
Seriously, how do you plan to accelerate the buildup on the underside of the mantle without increasing the stress on the tectonic plates?
You really have kept up, haven't you? The truth is, we don't know. Yet. Mm.
On the Enterprise, we used harmonic resonators to relieve the tectonic pressures on Dremer 4. Obviously, it's not the same problem.
You know, it's such a shame. The government is looking for someone to take over the project. A real leader who'll go in there and get things moving. And they are looking for you, Jean-Luc. But I know, you'd never leave Starfleet.
No, I'd never leave Starfleet.
That's what I thought. But if nothing else, why don't I send over some of the internal studies on the tectonic problem? Since you're interested, we could use any thoughts you might have.
All right.
Worf and his father and mother sit at the counter in 10 forward.
It's a great crew, son. And they think the world of you.
They really do.
Mother, father, I wish you would be a little more reserved while you are on board.
I know. We go too far sometimes.
We're just excited to be here.
Riker to Lieutenant Worf.
Worf here.
I need to talk to you about the phaser test results.
On my way, Commander. Have Guinan call me if you need anything.
They sadly watch him leave.
Maybe we should just leave it alone.
Well, I can't just leave it alone. I'm his mother.
You know, sooner or later, everyone comes in here. They stand by those windows and they look out and they stare. And they're looking for that little star they call home. Doesn't matter how far away it is. Everybody looks anyway. I'm Guinan. Pleased to meet you. You're Worf's parents.
Sergei and Elena Rozhenko.
Welcome. Sit, please. Thank you. There's something I would like to ask you.
Please.
How come you never gave him prune juice? I beg your pardon? Well, he said he'd never had it till he came here. Now he can't get enough of it.
Worf?
He never wanted any human food while he was growing up. Everything had to be Klingon.
I learned to cook rock egg blood pie.
However, we never quite learned how to eat it.
Oh. It was a difficult adolescence.
But you got through it.
We didn't do anything special.
Didn't you? Just look at him. I think he's pretty special.
We knew it wouldn't be easy for him, growing up without other Klingons to turn to for guidance.
We had to let him discover and explore his heritage by himself. Let him find his own path.
So many parents could learn so much from the two of you.
Well, I'm afraid that Worf feels that we do not understand him.
Well, part of him may feel that way. But there's another part that I've seen. Part that comes in and drinks prune juice. Part that looks out the window towards home. He's not looking towards the Klingon Empire. He's looking towards you.
Sergei and Yelena look at her in happy surprise, and Guinan smiles back. On Earth, Picard stares blankly at a data screen in the farmhouse.
Jean-Luc? Are you all right?
I seem to have made a rather disturbing discovery. Lewis mentioned that the Atlantis project needed a director. And I found myself actually thinking about it.
Why shouldn't you?
Leaving my career, the Enterprise.
Considering what you've just been through.
No, it's not that. Or is it?
Besides, it would be wonderful to have you back home. Given a little time, maybe you and your brother might even get to like one another.
Well, I already like his choice in wives. I never thanked you for your correspondence. It made me feel like part of the family.
You're not like part of the family. You are part of the family, Jean-Luc Picard.
Don't worry, dear, I got it. Robert?
Oh!
Louis, come in. Let me get you some wine. You can talk business.
Business?
Well, there's nothing much to talk about.
I'm interested to know what you thought of our plans.
Well, I've only had a chance to glance at them. I've had a few ideas.
Wonderful. But... we should discuss them with the Board of Governors. I've set up a meeting.
A meeting?
Just a preliminary conversation. Tomorrow morning?
Preliminary to what?
They want you. I mentioned your interest in the project. That's all. That's all I had to say. They jumped at the prospect.
I never said there was a prospect.
At least listen to them, Jean-Luc.
Controlling his rising anger, Picard turns away and slowly sits back down, leaning against the table.
All right, good. Very good, fine. I'll listen to it.
You won't regret it, Jean-Luc, I promise you. I'll see you in the morning.
I don't understand, Mom. What kind of message?
I don't know exactly. Your father made it a few weeks after you were born.
Why?
He felt it was important to say certain things. And to make sure that he didn't forget to tell you them later.
Do you know what it says?
No. But he wanted you to have this when you turned 18. And I want you to have it too.
She hands Wesley the data card and he stares at it in surprise. In his quarters, Worf stares at his reflection in a mirror.
Enter.
Are we disturbing you?
No. I thought you were going to your quarters to sleep.
We just came by to tuck you in.
Please. When I heard you were on the visitors list, I was not sure I wanted you to come.
Slowly he turns towards them, his face sullen and petulant. But as he sits, his expression softens, and he smiles.
I am glad you are here.
We had to come.
Our boy was in trouble. After we read your letter about the discommendation from the Klingons...
we didn't exactly understand it all.
We didn't have to. We know what kind of man you are.
Whatever you did, we know it was for a good reason.
I must bear my dishonor alone.
That is not true.
I'm sorry if this is too human of us, but Whatever you are suffering, you must remember we are with you.
And that we're proud of you. And that we love you.
You are our son.
Again, Worf's eyes soften and he reaches his hand towards his father. Sergei grips it and Yelena places hers on top. They gaze into each other's eyes in shared happiness. Picard sits at the long table in the kitchen, an open bottle of wine before him, his face troubled as Robert enters.
Careful. You're not used to drinking the real thing. This, synthahol never leaves you out of control, is that so?
That's so.
Well, this will. Now, there is something I'd like to see.
What's that?
The gallant captain out of control. Mind if I ask you a question? What the devil happened to you up there?
Is this brotherly concern?
No. Curiosity. What did they do to you?
You know what happened.
Not precisely. I gather you were hurt, humiliated. I've always thought you needed a little humiliation. Or was it humility? Either would do.
Picard suddenly stands up and strides angrily out of the front door. Robert quickly follows.
Why do you walk away? That isn't your style.
Tired of fighting with you, Robert.
Tired?
That's right.
Yes, tired of the Enterprise, too. The great Captain Picard of Starfleet falls to Earth, ready to plunge into the water with Lewis. That isn't the brother that I remember. Still, I suppose it must have seemed like an ideal situation, hmm? Local boy makes good, returns home after 20 years to hero's welcome.
Not a hero.
Of course you are, admit it. You never settle for less than that, and you never will.
That's not true.
Cancel the parade? In your favor?
No! I never sought that rubbish.
Never sought president of the school, valedictorian. Athletic hero with your arms raised in victory.
Valedictorian. Arms raised in victory. Are you so jealous?
Yes, damn it. I was always so jealous, and I had a right to be.
A right?
I was always your brother.
Watching you receive the cheers, watching you break every rule our father made and get away with it.
Why didn't you break a few rules?
Because I was the elder brother, the responsible one. It was my job to look after you.
Look after me? You were a bully.
Sometimes, maybe, sometimes I even enjoyed bullying you.
All right, try it now.
Why did you come back? Did you come back because you wanted me to look after you again?
Damn you!
Picard punches his brother, knocking him backwards towards the vineyard. Robert stumbles over two barrels, crashing onto the dusty track, and Picard leaps on top of him. Rolling onto their knees, Robert pushes Picard backwards into a muddy puddle between two lines of vines, and they grapple with each other, searching for an advantage. Rising to their feet, Picard rushes at Robert, forcing him backwards and crashing through the vines. Covered in mud, their grips slipping, their anger dissipates.
You were asking for it, you know.
Yes, but you needed it. You have been terribly hard on yourself.
You don't know, Robert. You don't know. They took everything I was. They used me to kill and to destroy, and I couldn't stop them. I shouldn't have been able to stop them. I tried. I tried so hard. I wasn't strong enough. I wasn't good enough. I should have been able to stop them. I should.
So, my brother is a human being after all. This is going to be with you a long time, Jean-Luc. A long time. You have to learn to live with it. You have a simple choice now. Live with it below the sea with Lewis, or above the clouds with the Enterprise.
Robert holds his brother's gaze and reaches out his hand towards him. Gripping each other's arms, they haul each other to their feet, leaning heavily, breathlessly against one another.
I think you were right, after all. I think I did come back so that you could help me.
Yeah. You know what? I still don't like you, Jean-Luc.
What happened here?
It's
entirely my fault, Marie.
Yes, I fell down, and then he fell down,
and then we both fell down.
We both
together.
But we both fell down together. Mm-hmm.
Have you two been fighting?
Fighting? No, certainly not.
No.
Shame on you both. What would your father say if he saw you like this?
Probably send us both to bed without any supper.
Well, perhaps it's just as well you got it out of your systems.
Perhaps it was, Murray. Perhaps it was. I'll contact Lewis and cancel the meeting with the Board of Governors. It's time that I was going.
Already, Jean-Luc?
The ship will be ready to leave orbit soon. And I belong aboard. If I should ever doubt that again, I know where to come.
Marie holds his gaze and smiles, sadly nodding her agreement. On the Enterprise, Wesley stands at a wall-mounted console outside the holo suite.
Computer. Load program Crusher 1.
Program complete. Enter when ready.
Taking a deep breath, Wesley enters and stares at a figure wearing an old-fashioned Starfleet uniform.
Run program. Hello, Wesley. As I make this recording, you are about 10 weeks old. I wanted you to know who I am today. You see, this Jack Crusher won't exist by the time you're all grown up. I'll be older, more experienced, and hopefully a little wiser. But this person will be gone. And I want you to know who your father was when you came into the world. When I see you lying there in your crib, I realize I don't know the first thing about being a father. So let me just apologize for all the mistakes I'm about to make as you grow up. I hope you don't grow up resenting the fact that I was gone so much. That comes with this uniform. I don't know if I can explain why Starfleet means so much to me. Maybe you'll understand when you get this recording. Maybe you'll even want to try one of these on. But you'll probably be a doctor, like your mother. You're only a baby, but it's remarkable. I can see in your face all the people I've loved in my lifetime. Your mother, my father and mother, our family. I can see me in you, too. And I can feel that you're my son. I don't know how to describe it, but there's this connection. This bond. I'll always be a part of you, Wesley. Well, I hope this makes some sense to you. I'm not sure that it does to me, but maybe I'll do better next time. I love you, Wesley.
Wesley steps forward, reaching for his father as the image disappears.
Goodbye, Dad.
The sun shines brightly over the vineyard on the farm as Picard is led through the gardens by Marie and René. Robert follows behind.
Come back and see us again. Goodbye, Jean-Luc. And be careful.
Take care, Uncle.
You too. Someday, I'll be leaving for my starship, too.
Well, there's plenty of time for that. You may decide to do something else as you get older.
René grimaces, shaking his head.
Jean-Luc, here is a little of the 47. Do not drink it all at once. And if possible, try not to drink it alone.
Holding each other's gaze, they suddenly embrace. Tears glisten in both their eyes and they hug each other tightly. Marie and René watch, smiling, and Robert drops his arms to his sides and stands stiffly back. Picard nods to them and turns, and they watch him walk away along the tree-lined avenue. He does not look back. Worf leads his parents along a corridor on the Enterprise.
Is there anything you want us to send you from home?
No. Perhaps some of your Rokeg blood pie.
It's been a while. But I think I still remember how.
Captain, welcome back.
Thank you, Lieutenant.
These are my parents, Helena and Sergei Roshenko.
Delighted.
Sir? Quite a ship you have here, Captain.
You had the full tour, I trust.
Well, actually, there's still a few areas because of the repairs.
Sergei, it's time to go.
Yes, yes. Yes, okay. I have all the specs and diagrams at home.
As the door closes to the transporter room, Picard smiles happily to himself. On Earth, Marie and Robert sit together at the kitchen table.
He's still out there. Dreaming about starships and adventures. It's getting late.
Yeah. But let him dream. Hmm?
René sits beneath a tree, gazing up into the stars. The end.